says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We stop right there, but God speaks in chapter 14 with specificity. I believe that God is a micromanager, that some people think that God just sits high and just watches and watches us mess up. Well, I think God is a micromanager and is active in everything in my life. And he just doesn't sit high and look low, but he comes down low. And I know God has some plans for us, and he gives us some specific things he's going to do for us in chapter 14. That's why you just can't stop with the cliche scriptures. You just can't stop with the cliche scriptures that you see on your little calendar and on Facebook and that people have cut and paste. You've got to read everything. Amen. You need to read the chapter before and the chapter after, because you might die in chapter 13, but get up. Step to somebody in chapter 14. Amen. So just don't be taking scriptures out of isolation. But in chapter 29, verse 14, he gives us some specific plans. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back, help me somebody, to the place from which I sent you into exile. Well, what are the plans? I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Well, what are the plans? Again, my brothers and my sisters, if you've been walking around and sojourning around the church long enough, you've heard Jeremiah 29:11 at some point in your Christian journey. We are comforted by those words. We're encouraged by those words. We're helped by those words. We're promoted by those words. We're prompted by the words that Jeremiah speaks to those children who find themselves in exile in Babylon. He reminds them again early on not to listen to the false prophets. He lets them know that you're not just going to be there for 2 years, but this is going to be a lengthy stay of at least 70 years. But even though you are away from Zion, even though you are away from family members and friends, even though you're exiled and oppressed, even though you're second-class citizens, even though you are not where you want to be right now, God has a plan for you. And one of those plans, he says for you to go ahead and build your house. Go ahead, refinance your house, because you're going to be in this thing for a long while. He says, go ahead and plant your garden, because you're going to need to learn how to eat. You're going to have to eat where you are. And not only are you going to plant a garden, but God is going to make sure that there's produce growing in that garden, because he says, go ahead and eat of that garden. He says, go ahead and marry, because you're going to be there for a while. You're going to need companionship. You're going to have children. You're going to have grandchildren, which means that this is going to be a generational thing, that you're just not going to come out after 1 day. You're not just going to come out after 2 days. We're not just going to come out after 3 days. You're just not going to come out after the premarital planning. You're going to be there for a while, and you're going to be there so long that you are going to have to create what we're having to create, a new normal. So go ahead and normalize yourself by getting married, having children, and having grandchildren, and teach all of them the ways of the Lord. And after you've done all that, you will find a sense of peace, even in the midst of your pandemic. My brothers and my sisters, we talk about this pandemic a lot, and people will say, oh, it's time to get off the pandemic. But truth be told, somebody's always in a pandemic. Somebody's always in a struggle. Somebody's always dealing with something. That person who had to deal with breast cancer, that person right now that I know that's dealing with fourth stage lung cancer, they in a pandemic, and it ain't corona, it ain't COVID. So I know people tired to talk about all that. People want to hear about all that. But we cannot forget other people who are going through a pandemic or the divorce, going through a pandemic or some psychosexual issues, a pandemic of mental issues. People are always going through a pandemic. Just lost your mother, just lost your daughter, just lost a child. You're going through a pandemic on your own, and it ain't on the news every night. We always going through something. Jeremiah says God got some plans for us. Those plans have to do with a hope and a future. But beyond that, he gives us and tells us some specific things
that God wants us to know. And I believe, my brothers and my sisters, you have to speak to God because God speaks in specifics. You just can't say, God, I want a man. You need to tell God what type of man you want. You need to be very specific, 6'4", with a job, with their own car, with their own teeth, kind, loving, not just don't say, I need companionship. You need to speak with specificity. God, I need a job that's got 6 figures. I need a job that got 4 weeks vacation. I need a job that got health insurance. I got a job that need dental. And you got to speak with specificity. God, I need to feel better. No, God, I need you to take the cancer away. I need you to rebuke this cancer that's in my body. God, I can't think. I can't sleep at night. God, I need you to take the anxiety away. I need to take the stress away. God, I need to give this all to you. You have to speak with specificity. And if you speak with specificity, God will give you a design blessing. If you tell God what you want, God will build it. Help me, somebody, to the specifics that you want. So here in chapter 14, well, verse 14, he tells us 4 things that he's going to do. He says the first thing that's going to happen while you're going through what you're going through is I'm going to be found by you. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm going to be found by you. Yep, and nobody want to talk to me because I ain't put nobody here to talk. I'm going to be found by you. In other words, God says, I have not gone anywhere. Where I was is where I am. I like that. Where I was is where I am. It's you that got to come find me. When Job was going through his problems, he said, only if I could find you, just to sit at your feet and hear your voice one more time. I'm going through the problem. I got distanced myself from you, but I need to come where you are. Is there anybody here or watching me know that God is still where he was, where he began? And he says, in anything you're going through in life, you got to find me. Don't find your mama, don't find your daddy, don't find your sister, don't find your frat bro, don't find your sorority sister, don't find your cousin and them. Find me! And I know the plans. Daddy don't know my plans. Mama don't know my plans. Sister don't know my plans. But there is a God. I feel my help already. There is a God that knows every hair. Well, used to know every hair. He knew every hair I had on my body. He says, what y'all laughing for? He says, when you're going through anything in life, I will be found by you, which means I've got to search him out. Brother Howard John West has been talking this week and this couple months about a call to action. That we just can't protest and then go back home. We just can't hope for a better day. That there's got to be some call to action, that we've got to physically do some things. And God is saying, right up, start right here, you got to do some things. You got to search me out. And if you search me out, I promise you I will tell you the plans that I have for your life. And my brothers and my sisters, we all have had some plans that we designed. We all thought we were going to do what we wanted to do and live where we wanted to live and be married by now, have kids by now, maybe have a second home by now. Them your plans. That's what you want. But what you have to do is develop an attitude of adjustment and adjust to the plans that he has for your life, because the plans he has for your life will always be better than the plan you make for your life, because your plans go astray and go awry. But God says, if you search me, you will be found by me. So during this period of pause, during this period of Selah, during this period of turmoil, during this period of transition, God says, search me out. And if you search me out, I promise you, I will be found by you. And then God says, even in the midst of your trials and your tribulations, when it appears everything has been taken from you, I'm going to restore your fortunes. But one of the things that Jeremiah says, and the reason why he says that, is because truthfully, everything that they had
was stolen. Not only their bodies, but all the precious artifacts out of the temple, Erica, was stolen by Nebuchadnezzar. And the worst thing you can ever do is steal from God and steal from God's house. Let me be very careful and let me filter this nice. Any treasure who ever stole to God, you're going to hell with gasoline draws on. That was a nice way of putting it, ain't it? The last thing you can do and the worst thing you can do is ever steal from God's house. Their bodies were stolen and all the precious gold and artifacts that they had given and put in Solomon's temple were stolen by Nebuchadnezzar. Every home they thought they owned, because you really don't own it. You're in the bank or borrowing from God. Everything that the devil stole from you, whether it is material or spiritual, in this season, one of the plans that God has for you is to restore your fortunes. 2 weeks ago, or several weeks ago, one of the senators that claims to represent us in South Carolina, he doesn't represent us really, he represents himself. And they're coming for him, and I hope God helps them come for him. They were talking about increasing and extending the $600 extra for those who are on unemployment. And he said, over my dead body, but the bill just passed this week. Now, I hope that don't mean he's going to have to die like Hananiah, because he said, over my dead body, so we're going to watch the tape and see, because you got to be very careful what you say. But the bill just passed, and they go, somebody got a good heart somewhere, and they're going to extend the money because the problems and the pandemic has been extended. Oh, praise God right there. There's a word right there for your life. Even when your problems and your issues are extended, God is going to extend his provision in your life. And no devil in hell and no senator from Senegal, they can't block what God has for you. And he has promised. Somebody say promise. Somebody say promise. I can't hear you in TV land. Somebody say promise. Somebody say he's promised to restore all that you have lost. All your tears. All your pain. All your suffering. All your doubt. All your fear. He's promised to restore it. And don't just always be looking to God to restore something materially. See, that's how we want to sometimes equate this faith, the prophetics and the faith teachers. You know, they want to equate your faithfulness to material blessings. The greatest blessing you ever get in life is peace of mind. Who cares if you got a house on the hill where nobody will come over? Who cares if you got a Bentley with nobody to ride in it with you? Who cares if you got all the money in the pocket? Ain't nobody want to take one of your gifts. Hey, who cares if you got an iPhone 20 and nobody got your number? The greatest gift that you ever get in life is peace, where I can go to sleep every night without having to have the TV rock me to say that I can go to sleep every night without having to watch no infomercial. I can go to sleep every night because I'm at peace. And I wake up in the morning at peace. That's what's going to be restored. The peace that surpasses all understanding. And then God says, I've got another plan. I'm going to gather all the nations. I'm going to gather from all the nations. And the reason why Jeremiah wrote this is because the Jews had been displaced and the children of Israel had been displaced all over the diaspora. There was some still in Syria from the Assyrian exile. There was still some in Egypt who decided not to leave with Moses in them. And there were even some who were in the wilderness and went back to Egypt. Read your Bible when you get a chance. Read your Bible. It's a good book. They went back. They said, man, these in slavery, we had a house. We had something to eat. We had water to drink. We going back, Moses. We don't trust your leadership. We going to go back into slavery. And a lot of people have gone, Erica, back into slavery, back into bondage, back into the old thing, because God hadn't done stuff fast enough for you. But they got to wait on the Lord. Shall
And then some went all the way back down to Ethiopia. What this world don't know, that the second largest concentration of Jews in the world, the first largest is in Israel. The second largest not in New York Cliff, but the second largest concentration of Jews in the world are in Ethiopia, and they look just like you and me. They're called the black Jews. CNN don't talk about them. Fox News definitely ain't going to talk about them because they want to look European. They want people to think that Jews are European looking, that they have lost their melanin. But no. The largest second concentration is down where God created humanity. He says, I'm going to bring all of my children. See, that's kind of where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob kind of went wrong. They thought that God was just for their family. But come here, Paul. Paul teaches us that God is for all of us. All of them are coming together. All of us will be gathered together. All God's children, black, white, Jews, and Gentiles, all God's children who love him will be gathered together. That's why this pandemic, I'm sorry, temporary inhabitant of Pennsylvania Avenue, this pandemic and this issue just ain't in China. This pandemic just ain't in America. This pandemic is affecting every country in the world. And God is telling them, if my people, not just the people in the United States, not just the people in China, not just the people in Russia, if all my people who are called, if all my people will humble themselves and turn from the wicked way, then I heal the land. He didn't say heal New York. He didn't say heal Florida. He didn't say heal California. He didn't say heal South Carolina. He said, I'm going to heal all the land that I made. Because I made it all. And I'm going to gather all my children together. Y'all can't get together on nuclear proliferation. Y'all can't get together on climate control. Y'all can't get together with peace in the Middle East. So I'm going to give you a common denominator. And her name is Rona. And all y'all going to have to suffer together under Rona. And all y'all going to have to get down on one knee and call my name and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me. Yeah! I'm going to bring all the nations together. Even if it has to do with the suffering of the planet. And then third and finally, let me get out your ways. Ain't like y'all got nowhere to go, no how, but let me get out your way. He says, I'm going to be found by you. He says, I'm going to restore your fortunes. He says, I'm going to gather from all the nations. The third and finally, he says, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back to Zion. I'm going to bring you back to the place where you first found the Lord. And I'm so pleased that God temporarily is just going to bring us back. Part of next Sunday is just to bring you back to feel Zion. We won't come in this brick and mortar, but we'll be where the Spirit of God has rested, ruled, and abide, and where the clouds of the Shekinah glory. Hold on, Dakota. It's still hovering around this place. And I want to know that, let you know that this cloud moves. And it doesn't just hover around 1203 Summit Parkway. But if you know the Lord and the pardoning of your sins, the plans that God has for you are here and there. He has given us a promise, just like he has given the children of Israel, that I will bring you back. But here is the beauty of the story. He says, I'm going to bring you back to the place from which you were stolen from. But I'm also going to bring you back into the temple. The hardest part for the children of Israel was not being able to go to temple because there was no temple in Babylon. That's why they had to learn how to sing new songs, because for them,
serving God had to happen in a temple. It had to happen in Solomon's temple. When I was in Israel, I learned that even in the little small synagogues around communities, only thing they did there was teach like we do in Sunday school. But praise, worship, and prayer only happened at the temple where the high priest was. But thank God when Jesus died, that veil ripped into two, which means that your altar and your prayer and your synagogue and your temple is every place you take your place, because every place you take your place, Jesus should be with you and in you. And he says, I'm going to bring you back to a physical place, but God is telling me to let everybody know he's going to bring you back to a spiritual place that is going to be bigger than the place you had before you went into exile. Follow me now. When Solomon built his temple, when he first built that temple in the mid-century of 10 BC, that temple was 2,700 square feet, 60 by 20 cubits and 30 cubits high. When the first temple was built, it was only 2,700 square feet, 60 by 20 by 30. When they came back out of exile, they rebuilt the temple. It was made a little bigger. It went from 60 to 30 to 100. But then came a king by the name of Herod at the age and time that Jesus came on the scene. In 21 BC, 21 years before Jesus came, Herod decided to expand the temple, grow the temple, so that it was 100 cubits by 100 cubits by 100 cubits, and it was 22,000 square feet. When Solomon built the temple was destroyed, was 2,700 square feet. After they went through their pain in the exile, they came back, rebuilt, and then a king by the name of Herod added on to what they rebuilt so that it tripled in size. Somebody ain't got me. When they were outside Zion, they left a small temple that was 2,700 square feet. But Cliff, when they got back, the temple they left was bigger than the temple that they had. Now the question is, hold on, Jacoby, we're going to ride in a minute, Tonto. The question is, why would Herod, who tried to kill Jesus, enlarge the temple? That's the question I had to raise before the Spirit, Erica. Why would Herod, the same Herod who tried to kill my Savior when he was born, why would he, Hazel, grow the temple when he was not a man of faith? Well, the simple answer is that he wanted to take credit for building something for man he didn't believe in. But he wanted to take credit for making it larger so that he looked good in front of the people. Yeah, Gail. It does sound like somebody we know. He just wanted good press. He wanted good poll numbers. But it worked against him. For what the devil sometimes means for your evil, God has meant it for your good. Now let me make this thing real to you, real. 2 years ago to this date, put that email up. 2 years to this date, on July 26, 2018, my dad and I sent a letter to an architect. 2 years ago, sent a letter to an architect here in town.
letting him know we need to expand the funeral home, that we need to make it larger to be able to serve our families. 2 years ago, to this day, we sent this man an email asking him if he could come meet with us. That was July 26, 2018. By May of 2019, he had sent us some plans. He had done us a schematic of the floor plan of what the expansion would look like, what the new building would look like. And then in June of 2019, before this pandemic, we signed a contract with him to create the architectural plans. Cliff, you know that when you make architectural plans, you've got to send it to the city to review, to make sure that it meets the code. He developed all the plans for the expansion of the funeral home. We sent it to the city. And then in October of 2019, he died. He was my friend, and he died in the midst of our plans to expand. He died in the midst of our plans to expand. He died in between sending the initial plans and the city asking for corrections. I said he died in between sending the initial plans and getting the final plans approved by the city. The city sent back the plans to the architect and said, you need to make some adjustments because the plans ain't all the way right. We need to make some adjustments to the original plan because the plan ain't all the way right. We need to make some adjustments and some corrections. We need to move some things and tool some things and tweak some things because the original creation that you sent to us ain't all the way right. He died in between the first plan and the second plans. He died in between making the thing all the way right. He died when we should have sent the corrections in. But he died and we were stuck because it looked like the plans and what we wanted to do would stop. It looked like we were not going to be able to complete the project because the man died. He died, but we needed to make some corrections. He died because everything that it should have looked like didn't look like itself. He died to give us time to get our lives right. He died because none of us are a perfect picture. He died just to give us a little time to do what we need to do to make ourselves look like he wants us to look. I don't know who I'm preaching here today, but I want to let you know that God's got some plans for you. And you don't look like you're going to look. I said you don't act like you're going to act. I heard James Cleveland say, God's not through with me yet. Can I get a witness? But one of these days, I said one of these days, one of these days, I'm going to look like Jesus wants me to look because a man by the name of Jesus died. Can I get a witness? But I want to thank God. God sent two angels by the name of Chris and the name of Lyles. They worked for my architect and they found me another architect to final the plans. And I want to let you know there's another architect. His name is Jesus. Can I hear you say Jesus? Can I hear you say Jesus? Jesus. I want to thank you, Chris, and I want to thank you loud. But I also want to thank Jesus that he put y'all two in my life to make sure the plans would go on. And I want to be a witness today that last week, Clinton City approved our plans. And now we got to build out the project. Now we're about to build what God has asked us to build. And I've come by to tell somebody, God's about to build something in your life. If you believe it, can I hear you say yes? If God's about to build your, expand your territory, can I hear you say yes? If you know God's going to return all your fortunes, can I hear you say yes? If you know God is going to bring you back, can I hear you say yes? If you know God is going to give me everything that the devil stole from you, can I hear you say yes? If you know God is going to give you more than you had before the pandemic, can I hear you say yes?
Say yes!
Say yes!
Thing without a closer relationship with God, our prayers are with you. Because one of the things that has to happen is that your relationship